He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Hello, everyone. It's May 2017. This is He Said, She Said, SNU. How's it going there, Trace?
It's going pretty good. It's getting warmer out. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. It's wacky spring weather.
I was just checking out May, and guess what the birthstone for this month is? Do you know what it is?
I should.
It's Ruby's favorite, the color green, emerald.
Oh, emerald. Nice. Emeralds are beautiful.
Mm. Aren't they, though?
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
I like May. It's a pleasant month. It's always been good to me. How about you?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. You know, it's nice to get, well, I'm taking these really great wobenzyme, which are wonderful digestive enzymes, with the betaine as well. So I'm thinking that this is really helping me with my allergies. So, you know, I still get the little bit of the eye thing going on, but you know, I'm thinking this is a better year. What, mind you, we're just getting into the season right now, so I'll keep you posted to how I'm doing on the allergy season.
Maybe you're just growing out of it.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
It took you 59 years, though, right?
Yeah, this getting older business isn't so bad after all.
Right on, right on. So what's cooking?
What's cooking is lettuce wraps. Now, there is life after bread, and using lettuce instead of pita, bagels, crackers, sliced bread makes the meal lighter, more hydrating, and less acidic. However, you know, this is nothing new. I remember years and years ago going to Chinese restaurants and having, I think it was the Peking duck, and you wrapped it in lettuce with the hoisin sauce. So they've been doing this forever and a day. So it's nothing new, but it really is a nice change because it is very hydrating. You can also use cabbage leaves, collard greens, beet tops, and these are really loaded with a lot of minerals in them rather than the bread. This recipe is a great way to start your lettuce wrap journey, though. If you're into getting away from the bread, bagels, buns, you can use chicken, extra lean ground beef, bison, shrimp, or any style of fish, or just sauteed vegetables if you like. You can substitute celery for water chestnuts, tamari for chili or hoisin sauce, and you can just do an array of different types of vegetables. And as you know, these are just sort of experimental recipes that you can use, and you just create your own thing, but it gives you sort of a template. That's kind of what I meant to say. So what you'd want to use, I mean, you can use, if you're not using like the cabbage or the collard greens or the beet tops, you can use like a bib lettuce or a Boston lettuce or even romaine. Okay, so the sauce, you can use like a wheat-free tamari or a Bragg soy or coconut aminos mixed with a little bit of agave syrup or honey. You know, I usually use the Bragg soy with the honey, with the unpasteurized honey. And then the cooking oil, which would be the coconut oil. And then you, in small pieces, cut up chicken breast and use a little bit of sea salt and black pepper. And you can use some garlic cloves and ginger root and scallions and chopped celery and red peppers. And on top of it all, you can use unsalted cashews, mix it all together, saute it. And as I mentioned, you can do whatever you want, really, but this is just, this gives you a template. Now, this particular recipe is on the website, okay? It's called under lettuce wraps. And then once you've sauteed everything up, you put it in a bowl, and then you can also have another bowl mixed with the tamari and the honey, or the soy and the honey, and then you just put it on the table, put the lettuce leaves, you put your mixture, you put your sauce, and away you go. You can just have a great time with it. And kids love it. The company loves it. It's really a fun kind of dinner to have, but it's so refreshing and it's not heavy. However, it will fill you up.
Yes. The first time I tried this approach was in Korea when I went to Seoul, and I'd never had this before, but they use that same type of arrangement. They bring out the meat, you cook it on your table. I was thinking they were going to give me something to put it on top of, or rice or whatever, but no, they brought out, it wasn't lettuce. It was some type of local green top. Maybe it was like a beet top or something, but it was really heavy. And that's what I think is important with this one. Get a really heavy, firm leaf to wrap it in so it doesn't fall apart.
Well, exactly. And that was a long time ago that you went to Korea and did that, right? So this is nothing new, but it's kind of a sort of a new trendy thing that's happening over, let's just say, maybe the last couple of years that they're offering this now in restaurants. I'm not talking about Oriental restaurants, right? I'm talking about
Canadian-style restaurants.
Canadian-style restaurants, Western
multicultural
cuisine. Western cuisine. It's all new, but it's more healthy because more people are getting off of the bread, buns, and bagels because it is acidic. It's not just dehydrating. It's acidic, right? And hey, who doesn't love a good sandwich? Come on. But you know, we got to get out of that trend a little bit. I guess once in a blue moon. I mean, I'm totally off of the bread and so are you. So this is a really nice alternative. And even what I use is even like the nori wrap sometimes instead, because you want to fill everything up and get it all wrapped up into something. So there you have it. There's some really great ideas that you can mix and match everything up. But try it out and see what comes up. Wrap it up like a little wrapping gift wrap or something like that. But it's really yummy and it's a lot of fun. And then you find out what you like and what you don't like. Maybe you don't like the cabbage leaf. Maybe you don't like it with lettuce. Maybe you'd prefer the collard greens. It's just whatever you like, okay? So just get into something like that. Life after bread. Life after bread.
And also spice it up, because that's what I love to do. I like to stuff it full of my meat protein and whatever veggies and then put a lot of spice on it and then just wrap it up and dive into it. And man, that just goes down really nice with a nice cold beer.
And, you know, you don't even have to have any vegetables in it at all. You can just saute up some bison meat or turkey or chicken or whatever you want to do and have a nice sauce in there and just roll that up. Like they do with the Peking duck. But with that, they do the, I think they got green onion in it, like the long green onion. You don't have to have a whole bunch of vegetables in there either, you know, just keep it really simple. But whatever you do, I'm sure it's going to be absolutely delicious, but make sure you use the highest quality of ingredients that you can find. And that's it. That's all. That's no more. That's
yeah.
It.
Okay. Good stuff. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest interview was Natasha Gonick. Natasha has a Bachelor of Science in Biological Science and a minor in Psychology, as well as a complement of other training in Occupational Health and Safety, Death Investigation, Interior Design, Crisis and Suicide Intervention. Natasha is a master's level athlete, elite athlete at that, and participates in many, many sports. Natasha competed in Fem Sport and was awarded a full CSNA bursary scholarship based on her sportsmanship and a keen desire to compete. And for the full bio of Natasha, please check our website. When you were reading her total bio, Corey, when I was listening to her introduction, I thought of her going from dark into light, from death into living high energy sport lifestyle. Because that's what she deals with all the time as a death investigator. And this is very unique work that Natasha does, which is, why do people die?
She also focuses on the grieving that the families go through. She's that key person that shows up at your door after the fact. Not so much the police and the coroner, but she's that person that comes by and talks to people. And man, can you imagine the experiences that she goes through with all of the range of why people die, not just older folks dying of old age, but younger people with drug overdose or suicide. Man, she just gets a real bizarre assortment of situations coming up, I bet.
Well, it's like the story of what happened and the details. The families want the answers. And what she does is she gives them the answers of what happened, right? And she says, she does have the challenge of dealing with grieving families and not getting to her on an emotional and physical level. This is why she exercises and competes in athletics as well, as she totally enjoys it. This helps her to cope. She finds it truly a great coping mechanism.
It's the universal buffer. You know, when she said that, I immediately thought of that being one of the major reasons why I like to train myself, why it is my anchor, because it does give you stability and it does give you something real and tangible to hang on, and you can measure the effect. And when you go in, you have this fantastic experience and it's so reliable. But she's talking about how it helps as a coping mechanism. So this is what people don't have if they don't train, if they're not in great athletic shape. They don't have that capacity to deal with stress. When it ultimately, and it hits everyone, when it ultimately hits you, you better hope that you have what it takes to get through the ride.
Yes, that's absolutely. You tend to wallow in your self-pity and you do drugs and alcohol, cigarettes, bad food, and sit there and try to watch TV or whatever it is that you do. But you really need to get out there and move your body. And that's a part of grieving, is to move that body, which is a very, very important aspect. And you asked her a question about the funeral services and how sometimes it gets out of hand. And she says that regret is what most people have after someone dies. What's left behind is the people who are left behind. That's what's left behind. She says that you have to say what's needed to be said. A lot of people do not want to talk about the person dying when that person is dying. This is what she's come up against. So much is left unsaid. So you've really got to tell that person how you feel and what's on your mind. And one of the things that I found interesting is if you don't tell that person how you feel, then you have a lot of regret. And then what happens is when you go to do the whole funeral procession and procedures, that funeral director can really sell you on the fact of buying the high-end coffins or urns or whatever it may be, because you feel regret and remorse because you didn't say what you had to say. I think that's really interesting. That's a really interesting phenomenon.
It's a human emotion. And it's a phenomenon that's common. So people trying to compensate or make up for what they didn't do or say. And it's all about them. You see, this whole thing is not about the dead person. They're dead, right? I don't go to funerals for the dead person. I go to funerals only if necessary to support the person that's remaining that I love and to help them get through it, to hold onto their hand, to be their support person, whatever. But the person that's gone is, for me, completely irrelevant. You can't do anything for them. They're gone. So this idea of compensation, she also brought the light onto this area that instead of waiting for that time when it's too late, like so many of us do, take the time to talk to people. Take the time to make things right if things need to be made right. Take the time to reach out and be there for a friend, because you can't get it back when it's too late, when the door is shut.
Yes, and she says it's always a good idea to talk about death to your family and your children. Make it lighthearted. I think that's really important. I think some other cultures, they do. Like you said in the interview, like it's like a big shock, you know, when it happens. But she had some really interesting things to say, and I find the work that she does is really fascinating, and I think it takes a special type of person to do that type of work, because not everybody can cope with that type of work. They would take that work home with them, or else they'd end up telling the grieving family, and then they'd end up breaking down themselves. But she says, challenge people to have a positive impact on people. That's what she wants you to do. Challenge yourself to have a positive impact on other people, compassion and understanding, and encourage other people. That's what she believes is really important in life, and to participate in life. And that's what you do. When you participate in life, you're having a positive impact on yourself and those around you. So thank you so much, Natasha, for your special guest interview. It was very eye-opening.
Yes, Natasha is wonderful. She's got a very positive attitude. She is really involved in her life and in her athletics and with her kids. And she also made it clear to me that what she gets out of that whole process is more purpose to live, as opposed to brood, as opposed to, you know, fall into depression, as opposed to whatever it is that people do other than living and enjoying and having fun. And of course, that's why she's able to cope also. It's because on the other side of the coin, she is living life and enjoying life. So that was very cool. Okay, so what's your hot topic today?
My hot topic is positive affirmations and really, really good one-liners. I watched, it's an older movie from a few years ago called The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, but it was back-to-back, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel too. So they had some fantastic older actors. And I just love it when the older actors who are really experienced and been around forever and a day, they are really fantastic actors. And I just get so involved in the movie. But it's really the dialogue that gets me going. Now, affirmations are positive, specific statements that help you to overcome self-sabotaging, negative thoughts. They help you to visualize and believe in what you're affirming to yourself, helping you to make positive changes in your life and career. Now, what does self-sabotage mean? You might not know what that means, but self-sabotaging is when it creates problems and interferes with long-standing goals. The most common self-sabotaging behavior is procrastination, self-medication with drugs or alcohol, and or comfort eating, and forms of self-injury, such as cutting. These acts may seem helpful at the moment, but they ultimately undermine us, especially when we engage in them repeatedly. So we don't want to self-sabotage, absolutely not. But anyway, this is a fantastic movie, and I suggest that you watch it if you've got time. I know everybody's busy in their life, but a good movie. One of the quotes said, "The only real failure is the failure to try, and the measure of success is how we cope with disappointment." Now that really struck me. I thought, wow, because I mean, how often do we get disappointed in our life? And as you said, you have to lower your expectations. A friend of ours says, low expectations. You have to have low expectations. Don't put your expectations too high, or you're going to set yourself up for disappointment. So coping with disappointment, if you can really cope with it and just brush it right off, that's a true measure of success, and not wallow in it, right?
Absolutely. And it's not only the line that leaps out, it's the context and the emotion associated with it. So when you're in the story, and what is it that Ben McEnwitz, the fellow from TCM, says about the older movies compared to the new ones? When he talks about what he has discovered about why young people, a lot of young people are attracted to these older movies, because they what do they have?
They've got good dialogue. You cannot rely on blowing something up in the graphics. There were no graphics in those days. There wasn't even any color. It was just strictly a good story and good dialogue.
And a lot of the blood and guts, that was never shown. It was implied. And certainly that applies with sex too. Is you certainly knew what was going on, but they just never showed it. And that's what's different today. They show everything, and they show a guy's head getting blown off, or they have porno in the movie or whatever, right? So now it's like that, it leaves nothing to the imagination, as they say, which is, I guess, what people want, or maybe some people want, but whatever. What other lines have you got for some other good
movies? Another one, there's no such thing as an ending, just a place where you leave the story. So I thought that was pretty cool. I thought, wow, yeah, you know. Now you create a new story or a new chapter, an end of anything. It says here, some you win and some you learn. So what do you think of that one?
Yeah, that's a good one. Again, it's the context. It's how it is perceived by you when it's said and by whom, too. That makes a big deal. For example, of course, in the most recent Star Trek movie, Chris Pine, the new Captain Kirk, he says, there's nothing unknown, only that which is temporarily hidden.
Right, yes.
Right. So when he said that, I said, yes, that's it. That's so necessary when you're in a place in your mind where you don't understand, you don't have enough information to make a decision, and that's okay. So you will discover it soon. Just give it time. But you have to be patient often in life until all the information comes to you so that then you understand what the heck happened.
And here's another one, because we've heard it this a million times. Everything will be all right in the end. So if it's not all right, then it's not the end. I love
that's
that.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's
I
good.
I really love that one. You know, everybody has, oh, it'll be all right in the end. It'll be all right in the end. And then it's not all right in the end. But so then it's not the end. It's very positive, I find, these sayings. They're very positive. And here's another one. It takes teamwork to make a dream work. So what do you think about
that?
Well,
we're reliant pretty much on people some of the time or all of the time or most of the time or once in a while, whatever. But In order to make things happen, I think that ultimately we need to cooperate with others and we need to find friendship. And that's what makes it all worth it. And also necessary to the end of creating something big and marvelous and wonderful. How about this one? I got to get this one in. I was looking for this because once I got into looking and listening for the lines, like whenever I watch a movie, I'm always on the edge of my seat listening for the great line, the one single line from the movie that's going to have a huge impact on my life on some deep philosophical level. And it almost always happens. Not always, but sometimes I'm lucky I get more than two. Okay, so, you know, I used to travel a lot when I was younger and I'd go away by myself. And I used to yearn for someone to be with me, to enjoy the moment, whether it was looking at some spectacular vista or to see something that, you know, you see on postcards. There I was enjoying it, but it wasn't the same as having someone beside me that I loved. Could be a family member or your spouse or girlfriend or maybe a son or daughter, whatever. So I was watching this old movie, and I can't remember the name of the movie now, but it's a really old one. It's like 30s and 40s, TCM. And there the line was presented. Beauty without the beloved is like a sword through the heart. And I went, yep. Oh my God, that's it. That works for me. So yeah, I think, you know, language in the right context, said at the right time, in the right way by the right person, can really have an impact on us.
Yes, absolutely. And I was with you when we were watching that TCM movie. I love TCM movies. Okay, so that was that. So get some really great quotes and then type them out and print them off and then put them on your walls, put them on a cork board or where you are, or write them down and kind of look at them or really start thinking about some really good quotes. Let it be your mantra or think about it when you're walking or tell somebody else. But I think it's a really good sort of a vibration. I think it's just really fun to do that and also get your mind thinking as well. Very deep, deep, deep.
It's a deep, dark well, that female mind. So let's have at her. What's your final word, dear?
My final word is by Nathaniel Brandon. Every day it's important to ask and answer these questions. What's good in my life? And what needs to be done?